Continuing, look at verse 7. He says, again, I'm repeating this, which is not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert or twist the gospel of Christ. And now notice what he says. What did the old man prophet tell the young prophet? An angel came to me. And notice what Paul says. But if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. What was he saying? Even the messages that I've given you, if I come back later and say, well, that don't mean this anymore, then you better take heed to whether I've fallen away, is what he implied. He was saying once the message is given and once the foundation was laid, you better make sure. Why? Because the word is sure. The vessel often isn't sure. Okay, and notice what he says. He repeats himself. Paul only repeats himself right behind himself twice in all of his epistles. At this time and one other time when he talks about bearing in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus and how we are to die. And this is the only other occasion. And notice what he says. And as we have said before, so now I say again. He wants you to understand this. Isn't this interesting why he just basically repeats it? If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. What does it mean, accursed? It means what Jesus did to the fig tree. It means what God did to Saul. It means that he will not extend grace. It means they will be cut off. This is the perfect form of apostasy. He's saying what? That God has very little tolerance for those who pervert the gospel. He will extend grace, but once it comes into full bloom, look at Jesus, how he dealt with the Pharisees that perverted the word. He says, you've altered God's word for your what? Your tradition, your church beliefs, these new teachings. It hasn't changed today, has it? And you nullify God's word. You say, well, that's important anymore. Let's don't haggle over doctrine. Let's just love one another. That's a messenger of Satan. The word of God is doctrine. And you better never lay it aside for anything. Not for love, not for your family, not for what you want to do. Because the word of God is going to be your judge, and it's the true word. So when people start telling you, let's lay aside doctrine, you can say, well, if you mean churchianity, or you mean your church's tradition, yeah, we can lay that aside. But if you mean by doctrine the word of God, then you're a messenger of the devil. Because that's in direct conflict to what God has already said. He does not lay aside truth for anything. And he does not cancel out grace, love, justice, judgment, or anything. God's word is sure, it's proven, and it's balanced within himself. And we need to understand that. If we understand the word, it is not no new message. When people come along saying that God's doing a new thing, he might be doing a new method, but he don't have no new word. And when he said that the message would get to all the nations, he didn't say a new message. He didn't say a watered-down version so more people would accept it. He didn't say to give them all this little simple stuff and fool them later. No, he didn't. He gave them the facts from the beginning. He did not alter his word. And it's interesting what Jesus said. When this gospel is preached to all nations. He said what? What gospel? The gospel he preached. Not the gospel that people are altering and watering down. And leaving out the hard parts to make it acceptable to people. See, today they've taken the word of the God, the word of the Lord, the sword which cuts. And they've beaten it into a spoon. And they're telling people half-truths. So they won't scare them. God don't mind scaring people if it's the truth. He's never worried about scaring anybody as long as it's the truth. So let's do what Jesus did. Let's do what the apostles. Give them the whole counsel of God. And any minister or teacher that says they've got a new method, they're false. If it doesn't line up with what the apostles taught, they're false teachers. I don't care what kind of good they teach. And I don't care how big their church gets. And I don't care how many people fall on the floor and wiggle. Don't mean nothing to me. God is not going to judge at the last day by how they spoke in tongues, how they wiggled, and how big their churches were. He says, this word will judge you in the last day. So we better get back to what Paul and the apostles and Christ taught. And what does he say? Now notice he knew something interesting here. People forget this. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of God. We got so many ministers and teachers, and they're getting numbers, and they're getting money, and they seem to be growing. Well, Sardis was growing. And Jesus says, you have your name that you're alive, but you're dead. He didn't recognize it as spiritual growth simply because there was numbers. It didn't move him in the least. And what was he saying then? It's implied that many ministers are getting large numbers and getting a bigger do because they're pleasing people. They're not pleasing God. They are teachers with itching ears, that Paul said. They're listening to what the people want to hear. They're listening to what makes the people feel good. That's why they put a big emphasis on music and entertainment and recreational Christianity. And you can get numbers. Let me tell you, you can fill a church if you give away money. You can bring in a striptease act and you can pack that church. But it don't alter the truth. You give them the truth and most of them are going to reject it because Christ and the apostles said they would. See, he never altered the message. He said, and few there be that find it. So when Christianity becomes popular with worldly and carnal and ignorant Christians, you better go find out what gospel's being preached, because obviously it's not the gospel of the word, because it teaches something else. It's fine to give people good things, but don't leave out the hard things. It's fine to talk to them about the love of God, but you better not leave out the wrath of God and the justice of God, because he has it. And it's great to talk about God's extended grace and mercy, but you also better talk about what God will do eternally to those who reject him. See, and we got people who say, well, we don't want to talk about that. It's because they're false. That's why they don't want to talk about it, because they're not ambassadors of Christ. They're doing what Paul said. They want to please people. They don't understand to please God involves conflict and persecution and trouble. And Jesus said, what? I have come to bring a sword and not peace. I have come to divide. And people say, well, we shouldn't create disunity. He was talking about those in the Spirit. And walking in the Lord, there should not be no spiritual disunity. But he said, come in with the sword with those who are in sin and faults and separate from them. He said, I'll separate you from your own house. If they're worldly and ungodly, he wants you to break unity with you. He told heretics, Paul told Titus, you warn false teachers when they start. You warn them when they get off 2 and 3 times. He says, and then you put them out. The word is expel. We would use the word today, excommunicate. It means have nothing to do with them. That's hard, but they believed it. And they kept the poison out of the pot that way. They didn't keep drinking of the pot. Go to 1 Timothy. Gave you 3 examples out of the new. Out of the old. Thank you. We'll have that on my tape again. Okay. Now we'll go and see, why should I be teaching this? Why should I be warning? Because of where are we spiritually? And also remember when the old prophet said, an angel from God come and told me this. And then Paul said, what? Even if an angel from heaven comes with a message, if it isn't what's been given by Jesus Christ and the apostles, he said, what? Let them be cursed. He said, I don't care if you say Gabriel came to you or the Virgin Mary or Moses or anybody. He said, let them be accursed. You know? No, these are angels of light if they're coming to people. They're not angels of God, because they don't come with a new message, with a New Age message. New Age method is just something that's been rehashed for the times. There ain't nothing new about it. You know, he's just a suited the generation we're in. What are they? They're angels of light. Paul was the one that said they're angels and apostles of light. They come as good. They come saying God is love. They come saying Jesus was wonderful. And then they mix their poison with it. First Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit, what Spirit is he talking about here? The Holy Spirit, the one who gives revelation under the old. He was the Spirit of the prophets. He was the Spirit who came upon Jesus, the prophet, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He is the Spirit who was given at Pentecost and who called the apostles and prophets of the New Testament for their ministries. This is the Spirit he's talking about. And Paul says what? Now the Spirit expressly or clearly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. He's talking about true believers. He ain't talking about professing believers. Paul didn't believe these people were not true. He believed they were at one time. He said, they shall depart from the faith. He didn't say a profession of Christianity. You cannot apostatize unless you've known the truth. You can't be cut off of the branch until you were in the branch. Oh, I know we got a multitude out there that have never known the Lord who is saying, Lord, Lord. Now, he's talking about somebody else. Now, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Isn't it wonderful? He didn't say all. Giving heed. It means they're going to listen to. What are they going to listen to? Deceiving spirits and teachings of demons. Who's going to do this? People who once taught the truth. Who deceived the young prophet? An old prophet who wasn't right with God and lied to him. Isn't it interesting? Who tried to deceive and get God to do something against Israel when God said no? Balaam, a Gentile prophet. A man who said, Jehovah is my God. And God obviously spoke to him often. And yet, look at his end. So notice what he's saying here. They're giving heed, they're listening to deceiving. What is a deceiving spirit? It's a lying spirit. And teachings. The word doctrine means and teachings of demons. You're seeing it today. Shall I give you a couple? You know, once saved, always saved. Has that hurt anybody? I hope it did. The prosperity doctrine. God wants you to be rich, healthy, and famous 24 hours a day. That's nothing but, Paul called it, turning the grace of God into covetousness, to greed. You know, these are doctrines of demons. But they're coming as angels of light. And so-called men of God who are giving heed to these demons. Because that's how they can build their churches. They couldn't build their churches preaching the simple gospel. They couldn't live off of it. They couldn't get enough money to buy 4 homes and 6 Cadillacs. They have to do something to please the people. They're going to give heed to what? To spirits. And Paul was the one who said, too, near the end. And he's saying latter days here. When that spirit of Antichrist is fully here. He said, because men love not the truth, they would not acknowledge the truth when it was given, God shall give them over to a spirit of delusion, to a lying spirit. For what reason? That they should be damned. Who's going to give them over? God. And who's the spirit? Lying spirit. And what did Paul say? Let them be accursed. And that's what's going to happen to backslidden, false ministers who listen to demons instead of listening to God, who start in the Lord and end up out of the Lord. It's a sad indictment for them, isn't it? 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and what? Imposters. What is an imposter? An imposter is someone who proclaims he's something else. Another word that Jesus used was a hypocrite. The word is a pretender. It's an actor. Today we would say it would be an actor. Someone acting out something that they are not. So what is he saying here? That evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. So toward the end, which we're living in, he's saying what? That you're going to see more false teachers and false apostles and more demonic spirits taken over. And many of them are going to draw people away from the true faith that do have the true faith. And many of them are going to propagate a lying Christianity and a false Christianity, a mixed Christian. And it's very popular today, isn't it? The majority of people who call themselves Christians are not. Yet they'll say, Lord, Lord. And notice what he says. We'll grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you turn on your television, the majority of those ministers that are preaching and teaching, false teaching, believe what they're preaching. There's a few cons in there, con artists, and they're in it for money and they know it. But there's many of them who believe what they're preaching, but they're wrong. And what did Jesus say? If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. See, he didn't say, well, they were sincerely blind. Well, they weren't. He said what? They're going to fall in the ditch. Regardless, they're going to fall in the ditch. So he's warning us that that time is coming. Okay, what do we do as Christians if you want to guard yourself? If you want to keep yourself from deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils and imposters and angels of light and wolves in sheep's clothing? Let's go to just a few scriptures, maybe three sections, and then we'll finish. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 24. The Apostle John teaching, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him." Notice he don't get into a lot of theology here. When Jesus left, and before he left, and he gave his great sermons, and he told us to abide in him, and he would abide in us, and if we abided in him and his word, we were truly his disciples, implying if you don't remain in my word, or in me, the Spirit, that you're not mine, or you've left me. You need to understand what he's saying. And John was the same writer here, the same one who wrote the gospel. "Now he who keeps his word, his commandments, abides in God," is what he's saying. If you want to know what it means to be in Christ Jesus, then you keep his word. It's very simple. And any teacher who tells you otherwise is a liar, who says that you don't have to keep his word, that Jesus kept it and we don't have to keep it anymore. That's a messenger of Satan. It is not a messenger of God. And notice what he said. "And he abides." Not only do we abide in God, he is in him. And by this, get it? And by this we know he abides in us. He's going to tell us, how can we know that he abides in us? First, because we keep his word. We obey. We submit to his practical lordship. We don't say, "Lord, Lord," and don't do what he tells us. You know, we do. We practice what he tells us. We prove he's Lord by our obedience to him, is what he's saying. And notice what he says, "and by the Spirit whom he has given us." The Holy Spirit was never given to those who were disobedient to God's word in any covenant. And that's why I said the Spirit would not be given to the world. The Spirit is not given to the world. No, the Spirit comes first to convince the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. And when they come to the Lord and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Spirit is given. He don't give the Spirit to his enemies. He gives it to those who are his. So that's why Jesus said, "I pray not for the world, but for you, and that God would keep you." And how is he going to keep you? He told us, by his Spirit and by his word. Always remember, the Spirit and the word always agree. And any kind of teaching you hear and any kind of experience people tell you about, if it don't measure up with Scripture, throw it out. You don't have to believe it. And you better watch what you're hearing. And you better watch a lot of the lying signs and wonders out there. I don't care what they're doing. If it don't measure up with God's Word, you're headed for deception. And a demon's going to deceive you because you're not as smart as a demon is. So he's telling us what? If we keep his commandment, we can know that we abide in him. And how can we keep his word? We abide in him. And he gives us the Spirit of grace. And the Spirit of grace enables us to stay in Christ Jesus. That's why he keeps telling us, keep yourself, Jude said, in the love of God. See, there is a part that we have to do. And God says, but I give grace. But don't misuse my grace. I've given you the armor of Christ. If you don't use it, you get defeated. See, he gives us grace. But we still have to consent and yield to the Spirit of grace. 2 Timothy. So again, we must abide in the Word, and then the Spirit will abide in us. And to abide in the Word means we must obey the Word. That's what it means to remain in, to abide in. 2 Timothy. You know this one. Chapter 2. Go to verse 14 and 15. Remind them of these things, the Word, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. That means which cannot be found in Scripture. Teachings and things that are not clear in Scripture. To the ruin of those who hear it. Be serious. Be diligent. To present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And rightly dividing means handling correctly the Word of truth. Notice the key here. You must handle correctly. See, a lot of people are handling the Word of God. Peter said they are torturing it to their own destruction like they do all Scripture. Oh, there's a lot of people out there using Scripture, but they're not using it properly. They are imposters. They're angels of light. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. See, they appear to be sheep because they quote Scripture. And Satan did this too. But he wasn't God, was he? No, he quoted Scripture. And he quoted Scripture to Jesus when he tempted him. Beautiful Scripture. And Jesus saw he quoted him wrong. And he corrected him when he did. And we need to say, hey, when people are quoting Scripture and certain teachings, we better make sure they are quoting it properly and not out of context. And that's what it means. Don't mishandle God's Word. And many false teachers and many deceived ministers are using Scripture to back everything they want to do, but they don't read what the Scripture says before and after. They're just taking that one little Scripture and running with it. And that is not the truth. Let me give you a little illustration. You are you. And each one of you is made up of what? Who you are and your body. And I can walk over to you with a machete and chop your head off and tell everybody, this is Dottie. No, it ain't Dottie. It was a part of Dottie. And actually, Dottie isn't no more. And see, that's what they do with the Word of God. They go and rip a page out. They rip a Scripture out and say, this is the Word of God. No, it isn't. Because it hasn't been used in its context. It has not been rightly handled. It has been mishandled. And see, that's what they're doing. To what Peter said, their own destruction. And that's why Paul and John warned, and James, don't mess with God's Word. You know. And that's why James says, you people are going to teach faith and you don't understand fruit and work. He says, you shouldn't be teachers. Keep your mouth shut. Don't teach if you don't know what you're teaching. Keep your mouth shut. And I think if most of the false teachers would do that, we wouldn't have much false teaching, would we? Okay, so you want to know how to guard against this? You study Scripture. And you be honest with God. See, many Christians will even study Scripture, but they're not honest with God at times. And if you're going to disobey God in your personal life when God's dealing with you, He don't care what you know about Scripture. You might as well stop reading your Bible and studying. Because if you're not going to read it to study it to obey God, it ain't doing you a bit of good. We need to learn, hey, when the Holy Spirit says, I want to deal with this, you better say, okay. Because if you avoid Him and you say, well, I'm busy, Lord. You know, you want to be like Martha. I'm not interested in the Word right now. I'm not a Word man right now. I'm too busy doing the Lord's work. But notice what Jesus said. You're cumbered, Mary, Martha, about many things. But only one thing's needful. And Mary hath chosen the better part. And it won't be taken from her, implying what you're so worried about, Martha, is going to be vanishing, and you're not getting a reward for it because your spirit's wrong. You're already bitter at Mary because she won't help you. And you're trying to accuse Mary to me. And she did, didn't she? Martha said, why don't you tell her to help me? Martha was trying to humiliate Mary. But what if Jesus says, leave her alone. Mary hath chosen the better part. And Mary understood the Word. See, she understood this thing. Hey, we're not going to always have Him sitting here like this. We can always feed people, you know. And so see, she understood this. She chose the better part. So if we don't want to be deceived, you have to study Scripture. You cannot be lazy with Scripture. You read your books all the time. You read your newspapers. You watch volumes of television. And yet you're going to tell God you don't have time to rightly divide. Then one day a demon's going to trap you. I can guarantee you this. Now, you better get your priorities straight. If you believe your eternal destiny depends on the Word of God, then you better give it some proper priority in your life. Because it's what's going to judge us in the last day, not television, not books, not all the many things that in themselves are not evil. It's simply the cares of this life will choke the Word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. But then when we study Scripture, and we diligently labor and ask the Holy Spirit, give us truth. Cause me to see rightly and not what I want to see. Cause me to accept Scripture even when it's displeasing to me, even when it slays me. Let me be like David and say, search me, Lord, and see whether there's any wicked way in me. Don't run from the Word when it wants to cut you. If you find yourself running from conviction, you're already on your way to hell. Do you know that? You're running from the light. And the light has to deal with us. And it has to deal with what's wrong. But it says those who love the truth will come to it, that it will deal with them. And see, we got to be like Job even. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And many people think because they know they're not right with the Lord, they avoid God. And that's a good way to let a demon enter in and start luring you further away. See, that's how he does it. He gets you busy about what isn't important. It might be important to you. But it might not be important to God. See, again, it gets us back to our priorities. Who is Lord? And if His Word's important, give God's Word a priority. And if you don't, I can guarantee you that you probably will not make it into the kingdom. Study Scripture. And it's made to be understood. And the Spirit of truth will guide us, He said, into all truth. He'll let us understand what we need to know. And again, if we handle the Word of God properly and we're obeying the Lord in our personal life when He deals with us, then we go to John, our famous scripture in John, 1 John chapter 2. Go up the verse. I need to back up a minute though, don't I? No, I did that one. Okay. I'm going to back up. No, I won't. I'm sorry I'm confusing you. Hope it's not the spirit of confusion. 1 John 2:24. Again, notice what he's repeating here. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. What did you hear from the beginning that he's telling you to abide in you? The word that Jesus taught. His commandments. And he just told us that. See, Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you're truly my disciple. You're mine. You know? And so he's saying what? What was the word that we heard in the beginning? Which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning remains or abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. How do you abide in the Father and the Son? By submitting to the Word and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And He cannot be Lord if you do not obey Him. See, so it's very practical that a child could understand. Jesus said, don't call me Lord, Lord, or why call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I tell you? See, he's implying I'm not your Lord. And he said, many will call me Lord, and they will be cursed of my Father, because they didn't do my will. They didn't do my word. See, to abide in God's word means you hear it and you obey it. That's what he gives grace for. And notice what he said. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. To who? To him that abides in Christ. And that's the person who abides in his word. Notice he's linked it. Didn't Jesus say, this is eternal life? He said, my words are eternal life. This is eternal life, that you'll know God and Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. To know by experience. To know by submitting to him and his kingdom. That's what he meant. Not know about. See, many are going to say, Lord, Lord. And he can say, I don't know you. See, they didn't know him by experience. He wasn't Lord. But they said he was, but he didn't recognize them. So why? Because they did not abide in his teachings. They did not abide in his word. They did not submit to his lordship. And these things I have written to you. Why? And for what reason? Concerning those who try to deceive you. What is John saying? Like Paul said, I know many ministers and many teachers are going to come along using scripture, and they're going to try to lie to you. They're going to try to tell you that all you have to do is say this little prayer and you're sealed forever and guaranteed by the Holy Ghost. They're going to go and quote these scriptures out of context. And he's going to tell you, John has told you what it means to be a Christian. And he didn't bank anything on a one-time experience that wasn't kept up. Many people are, but not God. And not John. And he's saying, I'm telling you this so people won't deceive you. So they won't lie to you and say you've got the assurance of salvation when you don't. See, many people and many ministers are going to try to convince you you're a Christian whether you are or not because you said some little prayer one time. Well, you may have been, and you may have lost it. See? He's going to tell you how you can be sure you're of God. And read all of 1 John. We may teach on that soon. I'm pondering that. But notice the famous scripture. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. What was the anointing? It was the Holy Spirit coming into the believer, indwelling him to do what? What Jesus said. It is more needful for you that I go away. For when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. When the Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. He will make it plain to you. He will come and dwell with you. That is the anointing that he's talking about. See, many people on television are promising you your personal anointing. Just call in and give $100 and you get your personal anointing. You cannot sell the Holy Spirit. Simon tried to buy it, didn't he? And Peter almost called a curse on him. He says, your money perish with you. You don't buy the Holy Spirit. You don't barter for him. The scripture says itself in Acts, he gives his spirit to those who obey him. See, a lot of people are seeking the spirit and the deeper things of the spirit when they won't obey the Lord. They're not going to get nothing. They're going to get an imitation. They're going to get a false spirit. They're going to get an angel of light that's going to tickle their ear and make them feel good. But it's going to deceive them in the end. And John's saying, I don't want you deceived. And the anointing which you have received from him remains in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. What is he saying? Again, we've taught about that. He's not saying, oh, because you have the Spirit now, you never have to read the Bible or have anybody teach you. When people teach that shows me a dumber than a shoe. Shows me these people have never even read the Bible. They don't even know what they're talking about. And I've had many people say, well, I have the Holy Ghost now, so I don't need nobody to teach me. You need people to teach you better when you got the Holy Ghost, to guide you into all truth. See, they're liars. Many people tell me they're filled with the Spirit, and I tell them they're a liar, and they get upset. And they say, how do you know? I say, because you don't know Scripture. And God doesn't fill people with the Spirit that don't know Scripture. And he don't have them out teaching lies, because he's the Spirit of truth. So obviously, you got the wrong Spirit. And he don't anoint stupid people. And he don't call people to special ministries that have never gotten off the milk. See, they're just being lied to. And the old man's being puffed up by the devil, not by God. And that's what Paul said, I don't give a novice a place of authority. No novice is anointed with the Spirit to minister for God. He's not anointed to minister the Word. He better keep quiet. He's a novice. See? He better learn the milk before he proceeds to preach. So that's why James said, see, James understood they were out there teaching it's all by faith and works has nothing to do with it. And James says you ought not to be teachers because you don't know what you're teaching and you're going to be judged for it. No. Go back. The anointing will teach you what? All things. But notice what he says. You need no man to teach you. What he's saying is what the prophet should have picked up, the young prophet. What he's saying is when the old man came and lied to him and said, an angel came to me, his anointing, the spirit in of him, the spirit of the prophet, should have said, something's wrong here because God ain't told me this. It ain't bearing witness with me. You know? I'm getting another word. Now, how can the Holy Spirit contradict himself? He cannot. He does not contradict himself. You know? And I've heard it, and it's true. And I've been in meetings at times when someone's preaching or teaching or speaking forth prophetically under the Lord, and someone will stand up and interrupt them with tongues and stuff. That ain't God, because God don't interrupt himself. That's why Paul said you're not in order. You don't understand the spirit of order. See, a lot of people, they don't know what spirit they're moving by. They understood Scripture. They'd understand that the Holy Spirit don't grab you by the throat and make you talk out of order. He can make you be quiet and speak when it's appropriate. And he don't force you to do that. That's why he says the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. They're subject to what? Order. Because the Holy Spirit is orderly. And so he's saying what? That anointing will teach you. What will it teach you? What Jesus said it taught his own. My sheep know my voice, and they will not follow a stranger. See, the stranger may come and try to imitate the voice of the shepherd. And he may even use some of the same words. But the sheep have learned the shepherd's voice. And see, it's the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit that lets us recognize the word and the spirit of Christ. And there's a lot of imitations, but the Spirit can discern like the Word discerns. And the Spirit and the Word always agree. See, some people will quote the Word perfectly, but their spirit's wrong. And the Holy Spirit will pick it up. You know, He'll pick it up. And they can quote Scripture, and their spirit can be wrong. And what they're saying could be scripturally sound, and they could be scripturally unsound in their walk, and God may expose them for it. See, the Spirit may look at them and say, oh yeah, they're teaching you the truth. But their motivation is to get money out of you. Or to flatter you. See, they can still preach the truth, some of them. And they do it. Use the word of God, what? Deceitfully. Okay, in finishing. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning what? All things. What did Jesus say? And when the Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. What? Who is the anointing? It's the abiding of the Holy Spirit. It's the communion with Christ. See, that's what he's talking about, abiding in the vine. He's not something mysteriously separate. People are making the anointing a piece of cloth or oil. That has nothing to do with God. These are just symbols that God may or may not use. No, the anointing is Christ abiding. It's the Spirit coming in depth, in different degree, in different measure. And so he's saying what? If my words abide in you and you abide in my words, then the anointing. Why? Because he backs God's word. He says, hey, you are submitting to Christ, then I give you grace. And I'll not only show you the things of Christ, I'll take you deeper. Because he's the only one that can do this. And he says, and he will teach you concerning all things and is what is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, it, the context here, the Holy Spirit has taught you, you abide in him. Any spirit that tells you you're a Christian and you can be in the Lord and be in disobedience to Christ is a lying spirit. Any spirit that tells you you're in Christ while you're practicing rebellion against the Lord is a lying spirit. Any spirit that promises you salvation apart from lordship is a lying spirit. Any spirit that says you have grace when you don't have the life is a lying spirit. Because see, the spirit of truth will not bear witness with this. And in closing, remember always the Word and the Spirit must agree. I don't care what kind of experience you have or you heard of. If it don't measure up with Scripture, throw it out, because it ain't going to do you a bit of good. And you don't have to believe it. Many people are so afraid of offending the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be afraid to offend the Holy Spirit if you know the Word, because He says, search the Scripture. Any spirit that starts telling you to do something and don't check it out by Scripture is a false spirit. Any prophet or teacher that tells you to listen to what they say and don't check it out because they've got such a special anointing, they're false before God. Because the Scripture's already told us what to do in the matter. To examine and prove all things. Let's close.